Let's turn in God's Word to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11, we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 32. Genesis 11, beginning in verse 1. These are the words of God. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. It came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. And they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the genealogy of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. After he begot Arphaxad, Shem lived 500 years and begot sons and daughters. Arphaxad lived 35 years and begot Salah. After he begot Salah, Arphaxad lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Salah lived 30 years and begot Eber. After he begot Eber, Salah lived 403 years and begot sons and daughters. Eber lived 34 years and begot Peleg. After he begot Peleg, Eber lived 430 years and begot sons and daughters. Peleg lived 30 years and begot Reu. After he begot Reu, Peleg lived 209 years and begot sons and daughters. Reu lived 32 years and begot Serug. After he begot Serug, Reu lived 207 years and begot sons and daughters. Serug lived 30 years and begot Nahor. After he begot Nahor, Serug lived 200 years and begot sons and daughters. Nahor lived 29 years and begot Terah. After he begot Terah, Nahor lived 119 years and begot sons and daughters. Now Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land, in Ur of the Chaldeans. Then Abram and Nahor took wives. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife, Milcah, the daughter of Haran, the father of Milcah and the father of Iscah. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. And they came to Haran and dwelt there. So the days of Terah were 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. And those are God's words. If you remember back in chapter 6, the cause of the flood came because of the sons of God looked upon the ladies of men and intermarried. God's children marrying those who were not God's children. That whole division that was shown in chapter 4 and chapter 5 because now between God's children and not God's children appears here yet again. Because the sons of cursed Ham, the leader that we learned last Lord's Day, Nimrod, we learned from the was the leader over the land of Shinar, verse 2. And they determined, verse 4, They said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." There was a desire. Their desire was to make a name for themselves, by building something up to the Lord, into the heavens, to reach up to God. But our God is too high, and we see here much too prideful. We see a couple of times after it says, "Let us build a tower," that God says a couple of times, verse 5 and 6, and verse 5 and 7, "Come, let us go down to them," for a reason. And that to show that He is higher than all creation. Now, because of this, and their pride, righteous judgment comes from the Lord to scatter the people and cause them to, due to their sin, to be confused in language. And in verse 1, of course, they had one language. But after this building of the Tower of Babel, there's many languages. And then the end of the chapter is the line of Noah and Shem to the line of Abraham, which gives us the line that leads to Jesus Christ. And of course, the line of Abraham leading to what we'll see next Lord's Day and the covenant promises to Abraham. And one of the blessings, as we think of today, of this chapter, is the Lord at Pentecost, what He began, a process of reversing the judgment that we see here at the Tower of Babel. The people began there understanding one another. People thought they were drunk on wine and whatnot, but they began to understand each other speaking in different languages. And today, Christians, we see also evidence of this, that even though we in the world are scattered all over the place, now Christians are, as they come to Christ, they're united together with Him, and with one mind and with one mouth, the Scripture says, we glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And with one mind, heart, and with one mouth, we do so. And that is what God is working for us, even for eternity to come. There will be, it seems, one language that we must communicate with one another. And for that, we give praise to God that He's now reversing this judgment. Let's pray. Our Father, we give You praise and we're thankful for all that You've done. We're thankful that You are working in us in the church throughout the world, even today. As we sing as You say, one mouth. And we're thankful for this, that You've given us the Holy Spirit, so that even when we gather with perfect strangers, and we do so with people from other lands that speak different languages, we still have a type of fellowship that is hard to grasp when we think worldly. That we still have a closeness amongst us, though we've never met before, and though we can't speak the same language. We still know that we are followers of Jesus Christ, and You, by Your Spirit, are working greatly in our hearts to sanctify us and cleanse us of our sins. And so we give You praise for this, so that the gospel is not going forth merely here, but in all languages and tongues and tribes and peoples throughout the world. And we give You praise that we ask that You would send forth the gospel, that You use weak instruments to do so as men preach Your word on this, the Lord's Day. Now, Father, we ask that You would further be glorified and praised through what we've read here and the foreshadowing of Christ, the Son of Abraham and the Son of David. We ask that You would remind ourselves of the promises as we've heard the name Abraham, that he is a father of a multitude of nations, of which we are a part of by faith. And we're thankful for this, that You're still growing the kingdom of Jesus Christ, who sits on the throne over all. And Father, we ask that now You would be with us as the church. You would grow us in strength grow us in strength not only in our bodies, but in our minds and our hearts, in our wills and our affections. That you would do your great work of sanctifying us. That even as we teach our children, that they would fear the Lord. That they would turn to Christ for their salvation from their sin. That we all would understand that we have sinned against you even this week and this day, this morning. And Father, how wretched we are and wicked as we continue following after the flesh when you have given us the Spirit. And Christ has died for us on the cross, bearing the wrath of God for us, being our propitiation and our Redeemer. Father, we ask now that you would build us up in the faith, that you would put down pride from us and make us to be humble in your sight and before those around us in the world. For we are only here because of your grace and your mercy, because of your Son and because of your Spirit. And so, Father, humble us before your throne. Grant to us the word in our hearts. And Father, we ask that you would watch over us, that you would give us boldness to proclaim the word, to evangelize to those we come in contact with, that you would give us the right words to speak according to your word and not a particular method or our own personal words, but that we would speak your word. For it is your word alone that saves when your Spirit is sent into the heart. And so do your good work. Father, we also pray that you would keep us from division. You would keep us from a false unity and a false peace. But you would rather grant us true peace and true unity, which is according to the truth. That we would, with the truth, speak it in love. In love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. To be iron sharpening iron. To speak it to our neighbor, of those in the world, outside the church, that they would hear. And they would believe unto salvation and cling to Christ your Son. We pray also for our children the same. And Father, we ask that you would watch over our church, the church, and those congregations that need pastors, be with them. We praise you that you're a God who provides so that of the first fruits that we offer today, Father, we ask that you would use them for your glory and for the spread of the gospel and your kingdom on earth, even that it would go to support missionaries, but that you would raise up also from amongst us missionaries and pastors and elders and deacons and godly fathers and husbands and godly wives and mothers and godly children. And Father, we pray that you would, for even of these children and those who are not yet married, that you would provide a godly man, godly woman for them to marry at the right time. And that you would bring about many more children for your church. Father, we do ask and plead. You would cause us in our hearts to hate sin, to hate our sin, not just to hate sin, but to hate our sin. But to love your Son, Jesus Christ. He who is the King and Head of the Church. And He who is, as we've learned, the King over all nations and rulers. May the nations bow down to Him. May the rulers bow down to Him. And align themselves with Him. And rule according to your word. In our days, Father, we ask that you would keep us from suffering. But if we do suffer, that you would remind us of the promises in Christ, that we will be glorified together with Him. Father, if those who are downcast or struggling in body or struggling in mind and heart, Father, build them up and encourage them today in Christ your Son. Cause them to turn away from the things of the world and circumstances and thoughts that consume us of viruses and whatever, Father. And may we be consumed with your Son and with knowing him and fellowship with him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.